We are live, ladies and gentlemen, Decentral Gamers. Welcome to episode number 5 with Mr. Toomey. How you doing, man?
Yeah, good, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Dude, you're the man. You were, you were reminding me of how, how excited you were about the upcoming mint. So, you know, we have that in about 53 minutes as of the starting of this. So everybody prepare. Get ready. Make sure you don't miss out.
Yeah, the hour leading up to the mint is just, I'm in the zone, you know. Devices are off. Laptops are ready.
Intense. We're in the pre-mint zone right now, and it's getting pretty amazing
chilling.
Here.
We're chilling.
It's like the countdown pod to, you know, for like the spaceship launch. Except it's the mint launch, so we're getting ready for it. But anyways, man, thanks for coming on the show. Would love to really dig into, get a little background on you, dig into your story. You know, the whole purpose here is for the Decentral Gamer podcast is we want to help everybody be better gamers, hear the story of the community, and just really come together, you know, as people in the community. Would love to dive in and hear your story.
Yeah, man, for sure. That's what it's all about. I've been doing Decentral Game for Ice Poker for a couple months now. I've been in crypto for years, like since 2013. It was like, I remember it was after Silk Road went down that like caught my attention to this whole, you know, dark net. And, you know, I got a Tor browser for the first time and it was just like a whole world I'd never seen. So obviously that's like when I first heard about crypto, because that's what everyone was using on Silk Road when that hit the big news. That was like the first time Bitcoin really hit big news for me anyway. And then it was probably like a year later, I remember I bought my first Bitcoin off a friend. He was like big into it and like, you know, trying to get me involved when no one else would really listen. You know, it was just fake internet money at the time. and I bought my first Bitcoin for $300. And I still have that original transaction in like my old phone, my backup phone, you know, if my phone has to be repaired or whatever, I have my backup phone, the old Note 3 that I've had for God knows how many years.
Right.
And I still got my old Bitcoin wallet. So every time I have to use that phone in a blue moon, I go back and check and just remember the pain that I saw. I mean, I don't have that Bitcoin anymore. I didn't keep it very long at all.
Wait, where'd you sell it?
It would have been like a week later. It was nothing. I was like buying and selling, just like I wasn't like investing back then. You know, it was more just like learning how this technology works and what it's all about. And it wasn't until like 2017, you know, right before the big crash, when we had big gains. That's when I was like, okay, yeah, now's a great time to invest. Not like the previous 4 years where I've known about it. I'll do it now when everybody knows about it and the price is spiking. And like everyone, you know, it just shot straight down. But I always believed in the tech. It wasn't really, you know, an investment thing. I loved the tech and I could see its value in like the way that the internet was progressing. Since 2018, I just kept buying. Ethereum was a big one that appealed to me because, I mean, back then, Bitcoin was expensive to use and it was really, really slow. So Ethereum was like cost next to nothing at the time to use. And was really fast. Obviously, it costs a bit more these days. So that's where I kind of put my bags. And then NFTs started hitting the news with digital art. And, you know, again, I understood it. I wasn't like against it, but I was like, I'm not going to, you know, buy art online. The digital art side of things didn't appeal to me. And now we're starting to see all this metaverse side of things and real utility coming from NFTs. So the first thing I bought was like a Deadmau5 head. He released a series of NFTs, like these 5,000 different heads. Yeah,
so
I thought they were really cool. Like projects like that are a great gateway for people who are kind of on the fence about NFTs, you know? And that was it for me. I saw like an ad on Facebook, like I followed Deadmau5 on Facebook. I saw it. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I got some Ethereum, you know? Let's buy these NFTs. And that was it, man. that was like November. And since then, this stuff's consumed my life. Hey, it's amazing now.
So I want to get into that. I want to get into that spot and of when you first really got into NFTs and drill down into that more. But really, I want to talk about the history a little bit of you've been in this game for a long time now, almost a decade, my friend. And so, you know, buying the $300 Bitcoin, like, you know, we can take some lessons from that. And I think that applies very in a very important way to what we're seeing with DG in the Decentral Games ecosystem, it probably would have been better to just buy that Bitcoin then and then not like just HODL it, like not sell it, just purely HODL it and just ride it out. And because if you really believe in it, like it's going to keep going up and to the right. And so of all the things you've seen, you're a multi-cycler now, like the most life-changing gains, like would you agree that the most life-changing gains are when you really have conviction in a project and you see it and you get in early or as early as you can and you buy and you hold and you just have conviction? Like, is that the way to life-changing gains that you've seen over the history of crypto for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely how I made my life-changing gains. That's how I would put it. You know, I did make several investments back at the time, but, you know, it was like 70% of my bag was probably in Ethereum and Bitcoin, and then 30% was on these other projects that I do believe in. I still have them. I've never exchanged crypto for fiat in the 8-9 years that I've been doing this. Actually, I took out $1,000 the other day purely from ICE as well. It's the first bit of fiat I've ever taken just to buy myself a new phone. I was like, I've been doing this ICE poker for a while. I know I'll take a little bit out. That's the first I've done in 8 years because, yeah, my whole theory is find a project you believe in, you can trust. And this is the advice I give to my friends, you know, because everyone wants to get involved, but they're not necessarily, you know, that into the technology and it can be quite daunting.
Sure.
So that was something I learned through the 2017-18 crash, is that if you're in this for the long term, doesn't matter if it's going to crash this year, next year, if you're holding for 10 years in a project you really believe in, and that, you know, you've done a bit of research and it's got, you know, something like Ethereum, for me back then was a safe bet. If I'm going to hold it for 10 years, I was like, I'm guaranteed to make money. And I still believe that if you find a good project, even in the NFT space as well, if you're planning to hold for 10 years, then it's just a matter of you need to keep reinvesting, keep believing. Don't make a one-time $10 thing and not keep up with it. Do $10 every month. And in time, if you're planning for the future, you know, it's a safer option. I won't say you can't go wrong, but it's you know, that's how I do my investments. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, because there's so many ways to go about it. Like, you can come in on the NFT side and you know, go more the play to earn route. You can put in, you know, you could buy coins and you could do so many different things. Like, you need to have a strat and at least, you know, have some sort of like base foundational thesis of like of how you're running it. Because if you're just kind of like flailing around doing a bunch of random stuff, like, what are the odds that you're actually going to hit something that is really worthwhile, like that?
Especially for the average person, you know, someone who's not, you know, doesn't spend all day looking at this stuff like we do. You know, you can easily be, you know, tricked into, you know, the hype train FOMO and really make good choices. Whereas if you the project that's been around for a while and you're in it for the long term, you know, not the short term. People that want to make quick gains, if you're new to the scene, you know, good luck to you. It's the people that have been doing this for a while and that's, you know, their day job is trading or whatever. For the average person, by the time you hear about a project, you know, it's too late for you to get that moonshot, you know, like with Doge. It's the people that have been holding Doge for the last 7-8 years that are, you know, reaping the benefits. But if you hear about it in the news today, it's already too late because the gains happened over the last week or so, you know, and it's those people that lose money. So, yeah, if you're new and you're thinking long term, then you don't really have to worry about those short term gains. Find a reliable project, go long term. And then also, like, you'll educate yourself on using the blockchain because this technology is brand new. So for new people, just purchasing a bit of crypto, it's pretty simple these days, but you need to learn about how the network operates, transferring it from addresses and, you know, now connecting your address to websites into the Web3 stuff. Yeah, I think people need to spend more time doing to learn how it actually works, because then you'll see the value in it as well. It's really hard to describe the value in this stuff to someone in the pub because it's kind of like, you know, it just doesn't make sense. But when you actually experience and do it, like, you know, ICE poker is a fantastic example because everybody at least understands the basics of poker. You know, it's a card game. So when you start trying to, like, you know, compare Web 2 poker games to Web 3, right, it's a fantastic example for people to see the value and understand how NFTs and blockchain are working.
Exactly. I just want to give a quick shout out to the chat here. got two folks, Quick Draw and Akina Boy, right on, y'all. Get ready for that mint. Get ready for that mint.
Mint day. Big day.
Mint day. Doing a pre-mint pod. Getting everybody pumped up. Throw some love in the comments, too. I want to make sure we give you all some shout-outs back. So let's talk about then, you know, this idea of doing some research and understanding, like, okay, I want to be a part of a project long-term. How did you first come across Decentral Games, and what about the whole project really got like how did it check the boxes for you of like, okay, like this is something that I want to get into? And I know we kind of drifted off of that NFT, getting deep into that, so maybe you could kind of tie both of those things in of like when you got deep into NFTs and then how you came across the DG ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that very nearly couldn't have happened. I'm very glad it did happen. You know, when I started getting into NFTs, it was things that, you know, the dead mouse head seemed cool to me because I could wear that in the metaverses that are being developed, you know, VR chat, all that kind of stuff. Stuff I'm not really into at the moment, but I was like, if I'm going to buy an NFT, that's the genre that I'm into, right? Metaverse utility, we could say. So in kind of getting started with NFTs, I started, you know, using Discord a lot more. Before, it was just a place for me and my mates to chat when we were playing games. And now I actually started joining new communities and talking to people, and started using Twitter for the first time in my life. I've had Twitter for over a decade, but, you know, now I actually had a reason to use it in NFT Twitter. So I started adding people from other communities, and DG was this one that, of all the tweets that you know, especially if you're new to NFT Twitter, is your feed's going to be full of just rubbish that people are resharing and stuff. But amongst all this, as I'm scrolling, I don't know, someone posted something about a wearable that they were like, if anyone wants to try this poker game, I've got a wearable I can delegate to you. And, you know, I stopped and read it and I was like, okay, interesting, and just kind of moved on. And then in a mate of mine, sent me a link in Discord in private chat. We were just talking and he was like, what do you think about this mint coming up, DG Games, 0.25 ETH for a wearable to play poker? I was like, oh yeah, I've heard of it. And I've taken a screenshot of this comment now, because I said at the time, I was like, 0.25 is a bit expensive. I was like, not sure about that. And then I moved on, kind of forgot about it. And then again, something came up on Twitter about this wearable poker game. And that's when I was really like, okay, what is this? And I jumped on YouTube. I watched a couple of videos, people talking about, you know, passive income and delegating people in third world countries who are earning amazing income for them. And it's passive for you. And then that 0.25 ETH price didn't look too bad, you know? So I jumped in, and that was my first experience. That was really my first experience with Decentraland as well. I'd logged into Decentraland before, but it's so big, and as a newbie there, you're like, I don't know what to go and look at. So now I had something I could actually go do in Decentraland. And yeah, I mean, I just aped in from there. You know, now I have 9 wearables and going for 10 tonight. 10's the magic number.
That's amazing. I want to show some love to the chat, to Josh, Martin, and then again, a boy popping off in the chat there. And then as far as checking out the core team, I would just make sure you go into the Discord and check that out, and then you can also pop into LinkedIn. Everybody's pretty publicly available there, so, you know, pretty amazing core team. Anyway, so to me, back to you. Fascinating. So you heard about it, you kind of got shilled a little bit, and then it seems like you went and did some research and you watched a couple of videos. Like, how much, obviously 0.25 ETH is like not the most money in the world, and especially, you know, if you've been around for a really long time, like, you know, that's not terrible by any means. So, you know, it's not like you're making a life-changing decision by testing that out. But how do you really do your own research? Like, what's your process of DYORing, and how did you then kind of see what was going on with Decentral Games to the point where it satisfied your curiosity?
Yes, good question. When it comes to like doing my own research and picking a project, like I said, it's the kind of metaverse utility side of things that really interests me. So I look for stuff that's kind of fun or has potential. So another, my big investment that I got in, which was another thing which drew me to the NFT space, because I'd heard about this before, the Deadmau5 ones, was the Artifact CloneX. I'd seen on Instagram, and they're, you know, big talk of metaverse development and entering the metaverse more. And that's what really drove me to that project. And obviously they had a sound team that had been doing stuff for ages. So with Decentral Games, I mean, the most reassuring thing for me was probably the size of the community and how popular it was. And a big thing with like play to earn games is I've always known about them even before, like, kind of, you know, NFTs made it big. The play to earn was always something that was, you know, always going to be big in the crypto space, but I'd never found, you know, Axie Infinity and other stuff came along, and they weren't really games for me. I was like, this isn't a fun game that I'm going to sit down and play. So
sure.
And I don't really do this, you know, like I said, I'm not making it for investments. I'm doing stuff for fun. But when I saw poker, you know, everybody knows poker. And it's such a well-known massive game across the world in every language. It's an established genre. I mean, that made it seem like a much more reliable thing to me than these random games that not everyone's quite, you know, niche genres that are only going to attract a certain crowd. You know, I've played poker sporadically through my life, never properly, only with mates, you know, stuff like that. But I play card games a lot. And I think the fact that it's just fun, you know, when I got that first wearable, which I wasn't sure about paying 0.25 at the time, but I didn't actually mint that. I ended up buying on secondary for 0.94, because after watching the videos and talking with my mate about it, we were both just like really invested in this project. We were like, yeah, it seems awesome. And then from there, I just spiraled out once I got a bit more liquidity later on. I bought a full set because they announced the like diamond hands set. You know, if you get a full set of 5 to level 5, you've diamond hands, you get special crown and future special access and that kind of stuff. So for me, I was like, well, that's the goal of the game. I'm having fun playing this game. I want to keep playing this game. Like, earning ice is fun. But for me, the goal is to level up all these things as fast as possible. And then once I've done that, you know, that's, I've completed the game, and then it's just passive income from there for me. But yeah, it was really fun. And I love the whole metaverse side of things. Being my first experience in Decentraland, that really made me see the value in Decentraland as well. Because like I said, roaming around it before, I was always kind of like, well, there's just a lot of empty buildings here. I'd never been to any Decentraland events or wasn't into that kind of side of the community. Whereas now, obviously, there's stuff going on all the time, and I'm well into it. I've got a big backpack of wearables now.
That's amazing. So I think this is such a good case study almost for people to see, like, somebody coming in, you coming in and really seeing utility in the metaverse as being like the big draw of, finally you have a reason to actually be in the metaverse, hang out and like do stuff there, because Exactly. Like, so many projects are saying like, oh, we're metaverse this, we're metaverse that, but there's really like not something really fun to do. Like, there's not real community, there's not real action or events or like fun things to do. But once there is, like, this thing is just going to keep growing and getting better and better. Like, the entirety of the metaverse is just going to get more awesome over time.
Like, yeah, absolutely. It's so early still for this side of things. You know, there's still a massive percent of the population believe that NFTs are just the artwork. And, you know, I spend a lot of my time, like, you know, trying to just educate people in Facebook groups. Some people are just kind of blind to it. And they're like, you know, the whole right click save movement. And it's like, well, my wearables are a great example. I'll post the image of my wearable. And I'll be like, hey, here's an image of a pair of shoes that makes me, you know, or from a game that I'm earning like $4,000 a month on or whatever it might be. I'm like, how could you do that with just the image? And they're like, oh, I don't know. It can be hard to get through to people. But it's such a simple premise, really, in terms of blockchain and the way it works. It's, once you understand it, it's really simple. And like, being so early, can't imagine where it's going to go. And I think Ice Poker is going to lead the way in bringing people into Play to Earn and kind of changing people's point of view on Play to Earn games and just the metaverse in general. I mean, Decentraland's only getting more and more popular as well. You know, more events like another project I got in on was the Australian Open tennis tournament. Did a whole, build inside Decentraland with daily PoApps. So I was there playing mini games every day to collect my PoApps and then get free wearables from that. And projects like that are just great for bringing more people into the metaverse and starting to see its value.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm curious, when you're thinking about how somebody goes, like the life cycle of a person not native to crypto to then understanding enough to like kind of get it, and then there's like an inflection point or a tipping point where they're like, oh my god, I see it now, like,
yeah, absolutely.
Whoa, what are some of those data points that they need to just get into their minds before it really clicks for them? Like, I'm sure you've kind of had a lot of these conversations.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same intro steps for anyone who is totally new to this space, you know, because the first thing you need to undo is first thing you need to understand, sorry, is how the blockchain works, because it's really quite simple in its premise. It's just a big ledger that keeps track of where things are. But you need to use it in practice. So the first thing I tell everyone is just go claim an address on the blockchain. It's free to do. Just get a wallet extension, you know, MetaMask. Just create a wallet and then start connecting to sites. There's so much you can do in Web3 that is free and will help you understand, you know, browse OpenSea. I mean, I could spend hours. I find it fascinating looking at the history of an NFT because everything's recorded on the blockchain and always will be for the like rest of time. And I think that's incredible. So I could spend ages just going through owners on OpenSea and looking at addresses, and you look at one address and then it leads to another, and it's just endless. And then connecting, you know, your wallet. I think that's a big first step for people, is you've got your wallet and this is how you connect to websites, because everyone's so used to, you know, creating an account, email, password specific for that website. And I think that's such a big difference between Web2 and Web3 that people, once it clicks that, oh, this website's just reading my wallet address and it knows I'm the owner because I'm the only one that can press the sign button, kind of thing. And it's like, once that clicks, it's that you can then start to see your own value in the blockchain and apply it to things. You know, it can be used in so many different ways when we talk about ticketing and social media and art. There's the possibilities are endless, and we're so early that, you know, it's really up to us to imagine what that looks like, you know, build the future, because yeah, it's going to take over for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout out to Giorgio and Wandering. Just want to show love to everybody that's joining us live here. Pre-mint day pod. 30 minutes, you guys.
30 minutes.
We're almost there.
Ooh, it's heating up.
But yeah, I completely agree. Like, it's such a shift of how things are normally done in the whole, like, login, username, password, forgot password. Now, when you were first getting into it and like getting kind of up to speed on this whole thing, did you ever make the mistake of trying to send funds to the wrong network or like using the wrong wallet address for anything, or like any of those common beginner mistakes? Did that ever happen to you?
No. Thinking back, actually, I've never had made a wrong transfer, but I always understood the seriousness of it, especially when you're dealing with a 42 string of, you know, letters and numbers that you're trying to send, you know, potentially hundreds, thousands of dollars to. Okay. So that was always something that I would never cut corners on, always double, triple check. And then over the years, as, you know, my investments grew, I got a hardware wallet immediately and highly recommend. That's one mistake I did make, but luckily I had a hardware wallet. You know, Discord bot got me. I joined a group earlier that I didn't really know much about. I had heard something about it, I was interested, and then I got a notification on my PC saying, you know, surprise mint or whatever it was. Oh, actually, it was for Sandbox. It was a fake pretending land sale. And I was like, you know, I just clicked it from the notification. I wasn't in Discord, led straight to the link, connected my wallet. And then I realized, what am I doing? Straight away disconnected. But luckily, because I got a ledger, no transactions could actually be made. All I could give in it was read access. But my the second that, you know, it all clicked that I was looking at a scam, my heart sang up. I had to, you know, quickly just did everything, clear cache, disconnect wallet. The panic hit in, and I couldn't believe that I'd fallen for it because I'm so on top of this stuff all the time. And now, you know, just that's the big thing in this space that's going to scare away a lot of people is the scams. You know, it's not necessarily you making a mistake. I know I trust myself to never give out my seed phrase at least, or, you know, not make a wrong transaction. I can double check all that. But the scams in this space are, they're hot, and it's not just you falling for a scam website. You know, it's your computer getting infected, keeping your keys on it in a text file on your desktop, or not having a hardware wallet, you know, getting phished. That's a big scary thing in this space, and it is something people do need to, you know, keep on top of.
So how do you now use your, because I mean, I have a hardware wallet too. I always I always say, like, always have your stuff in cold storage that you don't want to lose, because
absolutely,
if it's not cold storage, like, it's at risk. It's at risk. Yeah,
you never know what will happen. I take, you know, my security very seriously, and I still know if I didn't keep it on a hardware wallet, there's always a chance that you'll get done, no matter how on top of it or smart you think you are. You never ever know. So it's just not worth taking the risk. It's well worth having that safety blanket.
Exactly. So how does that work in your security protocol for Decentral Games? Like, how do you make sure to maximally protect everything, just at a conceptual level?
To protect my assets, and so hardware wallet is the main thing, and that's going to cover 90% of your protection, right? I keep majority of everything stored on there. Like, obviously I have a cold wallet that I use for minting and stuff, but I try not to keep anything of too much value on there. And then your seed phrase, don't leave your seed phrase on your computer ever as a file, you know. Just because you've got your hardware wallet, you can still get hacked in other ways, right? And they can go through your computer, find that very quite easily. If you're being targeted, it's not going to be hard for a professional hacker to do that. So keep it stored in the real world. Keep it on a fireproof thing. This is something that you're going to hold for the rest of your life. To me, that seed phrase is the most important thing that I own, really, because to lose that would have such a dramatic effect on my life. That's how you got to think about it. You know, keep it under lock and key. My girlfriend doesn't even know where it is.
Wow. Hopefully she's not listening to this.
Yeah, I'm kidding. She could find it if she tried. I don't know if she'd know what to do with it, but
I literally had a similar thing. Like, it was pretty recently where I sat my girlfriend down and I was like, all right, you have got to know what to do if I get, you know, run over by a fucking bus or something. Like,
yeah, true.
Like, this is the thing you need. You go over, like, this is where this is kept. Then you Google these things to, like, learn how to get it. But, like, the crypto is here. Like, don't forget about this critical thing. Like, if anything,
I mean, you've heard so many, like, stories of people losing their fortunes from, you know, old hard drives and stuff. I mean, that's another good thing with hardware wallets is, like, even if you lose the wallet, right, as long as you have the seed phrase, you'll always get your funds.
That's right.
I think that's another big thing, because, you know, I've had software wallets before where I haven't used it for like 6 years, and I have to try and get back in. I don't remember what my password was, but, you know, I always keep my private keys or seed phrases. So, big one to hold on to. Don't mess around with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to make sure we get in some good strategies here for how to best earn within the DG ecosystem. So you started off a couple months ago, you kind of aped in 0.940 ETH on the secondary market. You got your first NFT, first wearable. Did you play with it up front, or did you delegate from day one?
Oh, no, I wanted to play. I jumped straight in. I still do play a lot. I was terrible. I lost every chip within probably not even an hour, you know. And I do think that is an important thing to discuss is, you know, ice poker is different than just playing poker. The strategy is different. And I think it's maybe given me an upper hand because, like I said, I'm not a big poker player. I don't know the proper poker strategies and etiquette or whatever. But, you know, I've learned by doing when playing ice poker. And I've had some delegates which, you know, claim to be professional poker players. I've spoken to them. I believe them. And they really struggle with ice poker because it's a different mind. You're playing a different game. And I've learned that over time. So yeah, I did start playing and then I started delegating, and that's, I think, why I bought a second wearable. Well, I was like, oh, okay, well, I need one to delegate and one to play. You know, this was just another project for me. It wasn't such a big deal as it is now for me. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'll buy another one if I can mint. And I think I did successfully mint then. Maybe I even minted two that time. No, it would have just been one. And then that's when they started announcing Diamond Hands. I was playing. I had my delegate. You know, I was getting a bit more invested. And I had an opportunity to get some liquidity. So I was like, okay, I'm going in Diamond Hands. And I bought them all on secondary. So I think I spent five ETH buying four wearables to complete my set. And then I had six. So I had my set and like a delegation one. And then the others have just come from mints. I don't think I've purchased any others on secondary, but I'll mint every chance I get. So my strategy really is all my ice either goes into, if I'm not able to mint, it'll just go into upgrading as many wearables as possible. And then I'll start saving ice for the next mint and kind of just repeat the cycle if I'm not able to mint. So typically I do try to delegate all nine out, which can be tough. You know, we've had a lot of problem with cheaters recently, check tables, and, you know, the devs are really trying to get a hold of it. So they've been banning a lot of addresses, which is fantastic, but I have been losing delegates. So there's days where, you know, I have no choice, but I need to step in to raise my ice. So I try not to play too much because it does take up a lot of my time. So I think it's good for me to have them all delegated out so I don't have that temptation to sit here for 3 and 4 hours. So yeah, if you're looking to delegate, leveling up's definitely good now because they've changed the percentages. It used to be, I remember the maths when I first started, was you're going to make the most amount of ice by having as many level one wearables as possible delegated to different people. But they've changed the ecosystem to try and encourage people to level up more, which is how the whole Diamond Hands, and it worked for me. You know, I ended up buying four more wearables because of that. But now you level them up and you actually get a pretty decent ice split as an owner. You know, it starts at 60-40 and then goes up from there. So it actually is well worth leveling up now. But yeah, all my ice just goes on either that or getting new ones to delegate out. And I'm part of a guild. So it's a group of us. So actually, the same guild as P-Dub, who you had on last time. We're in the private ice poker lounge together. That's a great P-Dub. Way. Shout out P-Dub. Yeah, legend. all those guys are legends in there. It's been a great way to join the community is find a good group of delegators. Because we all work together to sort of share players as well. We try and all bring in new players every week into our guild. So we have this big pool of vouched for players. And, you know, anytime you need an extra delegate or vice versa, it's pretty easy to find through the guild, and because everyone's kind of vouched for, everyone's got experience, you know, it's less of a risk than finding someone random on Twitter or Discord. So that's the biggest thing I'm trying to focus on right now is really get a solid team of delegates. I've got, you know, maybe 50-50, half are new people that I'm trying out and trying to teach. And then the others have been with me for probably a couple of weeks now and are all really killing it. But yeah, if I have a chance to play myself, I'll definitely take it. It's quite good as a delegator, because I'm so used to them having delegates playing for me. When I play myself, I only really need to rack in like 100-150 ice for me to break even for that day. That's quite easy to do if you're playing by yourself. That's not a great result if you just finish with like 150 ice. So those days where I finish with, you know, 500 plus is big gains. But yeah, it takes up too much of my time. I try to delegate out just so I don't have that temptation because it's addictive.
Yes, it is. And I think that's probably one of the best things to really get in your mind is like how you want to play it. Like, do you want to be the player where, you know, you're trying to figure out how to manage your time the best, maximize your earn skis and, you know, do that? Or are you trying to be more of a, like trying to build your own guild and really trying to delegate out and become a guild owner, upgrade your wearables, get more. And I think really the end goal is like for most people is to build your guild and become, you know, become more of like an owner, become more of a delegator. And frankly, I think that should be the goal for most people. Not everybody's going to do that, but you know, how did you, when you first got in and saw the potential, like, were you immediately like, okay, yeah, I have to move more to a delegator? Was it more to protect your time, or was it more like, okay, now I'm just going to try to earn as much as possible? Like,
yeah, it was really kind of tough for me because I wanted to do both. And that's kind of really why I want 10 wearables. 10's, you know, a happy number for me, because then I've got my 5 set of 5, which I want to wear myself and play myself, my diamond set. And then I have 5, which I can delegate out. So I'm kind of doing the best of both worlds. Whereas if I, say, could only afford the 1 wearable, or if I couldn't afford a wearable at all, I would be happy just as a player. You know, I would find someone to delegate me. I would put in the work, because I'm a pretty good player, I think. You know, I'm not terrible, not half as bad as half the delegates I seem to get. So I think I could hold my own. And yeah, if I wasn't in, you know, say I had no crypto bags, for sure I would be joining this game as a player, because, you know, I love the game, I love the technology. So if I couldn't afford my wearable, I would be playing myself to earn that ice just so I could mint one myself and then be a player. And that is, I think, the ultimate goal of like the player journey, is that you can start with literally nothing. You don't need to have investments in crypto. You can find someone to delegate you, jump in, start playing, start earning, you know, real value. And I think, I mean, it's perfect either way. A lot of people, this can be their job for them. You know, maybe they can't afford to save their ice. You know, you do get a lot of players from Thur, and I think that's fantastic that this is an option for them, that they can stay at home and earn more than their minimum wage doing God knows what job. That's such a fantastic opportunity for those people. And then for the people that just want to get into crypto, but, you know, are worried they don't have the hundreds of dollars that it can take sometimes, you know, you can get delegated quite easily, I think, if you're willing to put in some work and, you know, reach out to people. You know, if you can hold a genuine conversation with someone, and show that you're genuinely keen in this, I'll pick you anytime, even if you're not a poker player, you just want to learn. I do that a lot with people in other like Facebook groups online. I see, you know, people often have questions about crypto and stuff. And when I explain about IcePoke, I'll either get the people that just think it's a bunch of rubbish, or the people that actually get it and like, hey, that sounds really, really interesting. And I'm like, hey, come have a go. I'll teach them, set up MetaMask, jump into Decentraland, go jump in, have some fun. Yeah, I think it's a great gateway. Either player or delegator, the options there for anyone, depending how much time you want to put into it.
I totally agree. And that's kind of the beauty of it, is you get to pick your own path, like to choose your own adventure type of ecosystem. I've been so tempted to do like a 0 to 100 type of like, let me film or document starting over completely and like going from 0, trying to get, you know, become a player, like get delegated to, document the journey and like show people from start, like from nothing until probably like getting your first wearable purely from your earn skis as a player, and then being able to then delegate out. Like, I've been so tempted to like do that, you know, like day one.
You have to hustle. All right, folks. You gotta put in the hustle. But it's definitely a project, and I think it wouldn't be that hard to do. I mean, obviously, we'd have no problem finding someone to delegate. I mean, if you want to do it properly, then you've got to find a random delegator, because that can be half the challenge for a lot of new people. you know, I have people reach back out to me saying like, I'm really struggling to find someone to delegate me. So there is a challenge there, but if you can find one and you actually put in the work, even if you don't perform well to start with, if you just talking to me and show me that you're trying and I'm teaching you, yeah, you can definitely make it. Anyone can.
I think the strat would be just starting off, like, go find a guild, and it's all public. I'm trying to, you know, like, throw away the network that I already have and, like, you know, put my mind. I would immediately start listening to this pod and be like, yes. Okay, who are the people that are running the best guilds? Because I want to learn from the best. And like, I would read up on some poker strat to just like get some general poker knowledge. And then I would go and like befriend them and be like, I would reach out to the folks, like the guild folks, or try to join Discords and be like, hey, what do I need to do to prove to you that I'm the guy? Like, I'm the player. And then just, you know, go through the boot camps, go through the trainings, be a human being, like just hustle. And I think that's probably the best way to like get your foot in the door and get your first delegation, and then just play your balls off every day as much as you possibly can. And then I would almost keep like a journal of like, okay, today I'm trying this strat and this was my result. And here's what I learned today. And then every day you're like, you know, you're taking notes, you have like your notebook, you're like figuring out the best way to do it. And then eventually you'll kind of build your own system and you'll get better and better and better. And then just rinse and repeat until you're a god tier player. And then, you know, rinse and repeat that more until you have enough to start investing in your own. And then you're off to the races from there.
Absolutely. And like, you know, anyone that you see on this podcast, like me, P-Dub, you can reach out to anyone on Twitter or through our like Discord guilds. And we're all, you know, humans that are in this community just as much as each other, you know. So we all want to see the community thrive, and we want to bring people into the community that are actually going to do it good. You know, we don't want people that are going to make false promises of being a poker god that'll hit 2x every day. I'd rather someone say, hey, look, I've never played this before, but, you know, I love poker and I'm into this. I just want to give it a go. I'm 100%. I'd rather have those in the community because you will learn over time. And like we were saying earlier, ice poker is different than regular poker. You know, if you can just understand kind of the basic strats, and then when it comes to playing ice poker, you know, you got to focus on those challenges, and that's the real game. And it plays, because of that, plays totally differently to a regular poker game. You know, I like to think that there's no bluffing in ice poker. That's my mindset, is bluffing just doesn't exist. No one here bluffs. I don't bluff. And that's how you got to play, especially if you're focusing on your challenges, because most people are. So most people aren't going to bluff. If they're calling you all in, chances are they've got, you know, pocket aces. All right. Like, don't risk it. You know, you gotta really learn. This is the main thing people need to overcome if they come from a poker background to ice. Is the most important thing is stretching out your chips and winning big when you can. All right, you know, you need to join a table with enough money that you can afford to lose a lot of hands. But when, you know, you've got a winning hand or your odds are going up, then you also need to be betting correctly to win that back. You can't just be losing, you know, 40 chips every single hand and then winning back 60 every 10 hands. It's just not going to work. You do need to know how to maximize those games. Also, big things, finding the right table. Every table plays different. You've got to sit at a table 5-6 hand, understand how these guys are playing, you know, how many chips people have at a table, and whether that's a suitable table for you. You know, if I'm just trying to grind my challenges for the next hour or so, then I probably want a table that's not betting very much. You know, maybe they are folding if someone's raising. I'm like, okay, well, that's okay. We'll play it conservative while I rack up my challenges. And then I'm going to go find a table, you know, more high roller and start making some big bets and racking up my chips. Yeah, these are all things that you'll learn as you play, because everyone's kind of, you know, got the same mission in mind, right? We've all got our challenges we want to complete, and that does translate to the way people play. So the more that you play and understand that, yeah, you can play pretty safely and then work on racking your chips up either as you go, Or, you know, if you smash your challenges out, sometimes you can smash them out in like 30 to 60 minutes, and then you're like, cool, well, I've got 3 hours just to try and get in that top 5%. It's different every day, and that's another beauty of it. You know, I've probably been putting 3 hours in today, and I still need to get one more straight, you know, but my chips are off the charts. I've got like 3K chips, but I still have one challenge to go. So it's kind of like, it's backwards, because chips aren't the most important thing. Your challenges are.
Yeah, I think there's so many interesting and fun dynamics like that, where it is almost a completely new game. Like, it's not, but it is at the same time. Mm. And, you know, wandering in the chat here asking, if no one bluffs, isn't bluffing a good strat now? So now we're getting a little <laughs> we're getting a little metacognitive on this, but
well, if what would I say to that? If no one bluffs, isn't bluffing a good strategy? It's too risky. You got your challenges to worry about. Why bother bluffing? You don't worry about your chips, right? Maybe if your challenges are all complete and you're just trying to rack up chips and you see there's an opportunity to bluff, sure. But I never really bluff. If I'm raising, I've got at least something to back it up. It's too risky, because you'll raise someone and, you know, they might be going for a straight challenge. So they might, you know, think, okay, I don't have anything good now, but I'm nearly getting close to my straight. I'll match this guy. And then boom, they got the straight and you got nothing. Because they're playing with that strategy, that they're wanting to see the river to get that straight. Normal poker player probably would fold then, because they'd be like, oh no, I got nothing. But this guy might think, well, I have to get the river, I need to get my challenge, that's more important than losing these 300 chips or whatever. Yeah, it's a totally different mindset of the player.
Dude, you better hope nobody finds you in game. They're gonna know that you don't bluff now.
No man, I mix it up, you can't catch me.
Ninja. All right, so 7 minute warning. It's we're very close to mint time. Maybe take us through your pre-mint checklist. Like, what do you do to get ready? You know, both from a spiritual perspective, if you do like a some rain dance or something to increase your luck.
Yeah, I mean, it does start an hour ahead of time. You know, mints are 6 p.m. my time typically. So at 5 p.m., nobody talk to me. I have two accounts, so that's two computers, because I'm not risking using VPNs and stuff on one computer. I don't want the system to, you know, I'll have a VPN on one computer, so I'm using two different IPs. And yeah, for me, it's you don't actually have to sign anything on your ledger if you approve it in advance, I think, which is a godsend. So minting from ledger is the same process as minting from just a regular wallet. I have the clock will be set up right in front of me. So as soon as, well, I mean, you don't have to refresh anymore. So that's a big thing. Massive change is you don't have to refresh. Whereas before you had to refresh, and then sometimes, you know, problem with the page loading, depending on the traffic and stuff. Last mint was smooth as. I had two mice, two computers, right hand on one mouse, left hand on the other. And I'm hovering over that mint button. So as soon as it becomes available, click. And then just try and click as soon as possible. I think mistake I've made in the past, so this is probably my biggest advice, is don't refresh the page. Once you've hit the button, if you get a little loading symbol and you think it's taking too long, I would just wait. Better off to wait and see if it goes through than to risk canceling it, because I've refreshed a couple times in the past and I never made it on those mints. Whereas now I wait and I have better odds. I don't want to say I make it every time, because that's just not possible. Someone's asking, how do you approve in advance on ledger? I think I did it ages ago, because when you go to the website, it's basically where you check your eligibility at the top. I'm sure there was a button to like approve the ETH or the ICE or something. So now you don't have to use your ledger at the time. One mint I was running late. This was like Christmas Eve or something. This may have been my first one after Christmas. And I was going down this alleyway, and they gated off the alleyway with a sign that said, due to law restrictions, this alleyway is shut one night of the year. It was the one night I'm racing home. I've just come from like a nice dinner. So I'm wearing like a nice sweater. I got my nice coat on, and I don't have time to walk all the way back around. So I squeezed under this gate on the wet. My brand new coat was just covered in mud, and sprinted home. And I was successful. I got one, so that was good.
You deserved it after that.
Absolutely.
Throwing caution in your nice sweater to the wind, to the mud. Like, you better.
I had my priorities that night, man.
That's awesome. So I know we talked about this a little bit beforehand, and you know, I just want to check in. Is it possible to screen share this? I don't want to all want to compromise your security in any way, shape, or form.
No. I think we're pretty safe. I've got my ledger on anyway, and there's really nothing to worry about. Yeah, we can try and do a live mint. I think I could use you guys' luck behind me.
Yeah, let's do it. You can share screen. You can share screen in the studio. So just
I think I can just share the tab for that as well. Is that working?
Yep.
Cool. So we got the poet. I think I'm gonna go, I don't know if to go beret or turtleneck. I mean, I'll take anything, to be honest.
Give me the goods.
I always try and go for what I think people aren't going to go for, because I'm not really fussed. A wearable's a wearable to me. I don't really care too much about the aesthetics. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, always try and think which one's going to be the least popular. These ones, it's hard to tell. I think the high tops could be quite popular. I also don't really like doing the ones on the end because you have to scroll. Mm. And it's just too risky for me, man. You can't be taking those risks.
Talk us through what you're doing, what you're thinking about right now.
Yeah. So first thing to make sure is my wallet is connected. I'm logged in. That's fine. I refreshed a few minutes ago, so I'm not going to refresh now until the mint, because I know that you can get limited if you're spamming refresh or something. So again, just a risk I don't take. Check eligibility. Obviously, I've already done this. So I've got the ICE, which again, I've all earned in-game. And then my stake DG, which I've had forever. So I'll make sure my mouse is scrolled all the way up to the top so that, we don't have to refresh the page. Because normally when you refresh the page, I would make sure my mouse is in the right position and then I just hit F5. So when the page reboots, I just have to click, no scrolling or anything. Mm-hmm. You really got it. You got to fine tune it, man. It's like, you know, professional swimmers, you know, they shake every hair on their body to make them streamline as possible. That's mm-hmm. what you got to think. So normally I would have an incognito tab as well. And I always feel like having clearcation cookies is only better. Well, here mm-hmm. we go. 59. This is the final minute, guys. So hopefully if everything runs as planned at 6 o'clock, that coming soon button should just change to a mint now button. And then I just have to do some fast clickings. We're going to go, should we go turtleneck? No, I'm going to go berry. I'm going to go with my gut and I'm going to go berry.
Do it.
So this is the most intense minute now. My heart's already racing, let me tell you. I'm getting ready with the refresh, although I shouldn't have to refresh. Also, normally now I'd be in Discord, sort of checking the chat, just seeing if there's any common trends people are, any problems or anything people might be having. That's mm-hmm. how I learned I didn't need to refresh last time. It was like 2 minutes before the mint, and one of the devs or admins confirmed, you know, no refresh. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I didn't hit F5. Normally, I would have two computers as well, so I feel like very lucky if this goes through. I think it's sold out. Oh, here we go. Mint new wearable, mint wearable.
Go.
Purchase. And I believe that's it. I have my ledger here, but I don't think I need to press anything. We should just sit and wait now.
Come on.
My heart is pounding. I think that was pretty fast.
That was good. You were fast on the trigger there, friend.
Depends on the website, though. There's no way to know, is there?
Mm-mm.
See, it's only been like 10 seconds, but it feels like a lifetime. See, this is where I've like refreshed in the past. We're not going to do that. But again, I would also be checking Discord to see if people are having success. Maybe people aren't having success. It might be worth refreshing. Mm-hmm. But we're playing it safe. Oh, you already have requested mint. Oh, you have already requested. Please wait a moment before reattempting. All right, we're going to refresh. Refresh, new strat, fail to load mint button. Refresh when that happens, because that happens from time to time. Coming soon. All right, we're going to try for turtleneck. 180 left, it says. Oh, wait, did that say I had zero ice? Or maybe it has gone through. I'm pretty sure that last screen said zero ice, which makes me think like there is a transaction happening.
Then it happened, yeah.
Mint token transaction fail error in cooldown period. Cannot mint. Oh, that means I mint. No, now it's saying I have 25,000 available. We're trying again. cooldown period. Well, the cooldown period should mean I've minted. Let's refresh and see what it says about my ice now. Any left? Oh, they're going a bit slower. Zero ice.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it should have gone through.
One would like to think, hey, we got it.
There it is. Let's go.
I don't know why it says 0%. Is that possible? But
let's go.
There we go, guys. We did it.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you for everybody in the chat sending me those positive vibes. I needed that.
That was awesome.
I'm so glad we got a successful one on stream. You guys can feel how intense that is, right?
Yeah, that was intense. And then you weren't sure if you got it. You had to refresh, do a couple of things. Man. Dude, that was amazing.
You never know, right? The game's in beta, and with anything in the Web3 space, it's early days. We're all learning as we go. I mean, these guys, honestly, their mints are fantastic compared to half the mints that I've done from much bigger companies. These guys, there's no fee. You saw I didn't even have to sign a transaction because they've set it all up in advance. So it's a very, very smooth process. And that's why it sells out in 40 seconds. Yeah. You know, with a lot of big mints where people coming from outside, big sporting mints, whatever it is that may be attracting people, gas fees are such a big problem. I've seen so many people lose hundreds of dollars from failed transactions because it's only the pros in the space know how to mint on contract and they know what gas price to set, whereas a newbie is just going to hit send and hope for the best. But yeah, these guys, their mints are great every time. So happy we got to do that.
Me too. This is amazing. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you,
man. And doing a mint live. That was awesome. And congrats.
Yeah, man.
So that's number 10. You hit your magic number.
That's 10. That's 10 for me, man. Now it's just about racking up that ice and leveling them up. So I'm going to keep 5 at level 1. I've got to get my diamond handset first. And I've got the Founding Fathers set. That's my set of 5.
Love it. So, yeah. That's amazing.
That's it.
Awesome, man. Well, Toomey, you're the man. You're the absolute man. I appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing everything that you have. I think people like yourself who have been in crypto since almost the beginning, you know, for almost a decade, like, you guys are so important to teach everybody else and to, like, you know, handhold people. And like, you've been through it all, you've seen it all, you've ridden the cycles up and down, like, you know what's going on here. So it's I'm just so grateful, you know, for folks like you who, I'm sure you don't have to, but you're still playing the game, you're still in it with us.
Man, for sure. I mean, it's such an exciting road ahead, the way I see it, this technology and what it can bring to literally the way that we live our lives. I think it'll change and shape the future. So the more people that I can bring on, the more people I can help understand and educate, you know, I'm always happy to help. If anyone wants any advice with Ice Poker, or if you want to get into it or anything, you know, find me on Twitter, Toomey to you. Let's get you in the guild. Let's get you a wearable and let's get you in the community. You know, that's what it's all about.
You're the man. You're the best. This is amazing. Everybody else, thanks, good luck. Hope you all got to mint. And I'll see you all on the next episode of the Decentral Gamer. Peace out, guys.